You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of September 3rd, 2014. And are you ready for some esports? A Wednesday night party.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alboy.
I'm Scott Juster.
And we are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. We talk about video games and culture and all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. This week on the podcast, I just got back from PAX 2014. There's not a whole lot out of PAX. There's some interesting stuff. But one of the big things that caught my attention was the North American League of Legends Regionals Finals.
Yeah.
So I caught some of those live matches. I caught a live match, a couple weeks ago in Los Angeles.
You've been to 2 esports events in as many weeks.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah. I don't think I've been to, like, a proper sporting event in, like, years.
Yeah.
But esports, back to back.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a every weekend thing now.
Oh, God. What have I become? So this week on the podcast, we were going to talk a little bit about that esports scene, what that sort of means and looks like. Last week, I wrote an article for Pop Matters about my first live esports event, but I think there's some interesting things that fell out of that stuff. I want to talk with you, Scott, as a sports enthusiast, if you will.
A sportsman.
And there's also some interesting changes in a atmosphere that is different at an event that is the size of the League of Legends North American Regionals at PAX.
Mm-hmm.
The event that I went to in Los Angeles was relatively small. It was in this studio, huge stage, but I don't know how many people were there. Maybe a couple hundred. A
couple hundred's pretty good.
It's sizable.
I mean, but like, it was definitely more than 50.
Definitely. Yeah. It was actually just me and one other guy.
I mean,
and
he 50 was like, can be a big crowd if it's a small room.
I'm just here for the food. I don't know what's happening. So it was a sizable group in Los Angeles. But the amount of people at PAX is like, 90,000, I think, go to PAX? And I don't know, for some reason I'm terrible at measuring numbers of people in a room. But I would guess.
Was this like in one of the big conference halls in the Seattle?
Huge, huge conference hall. We're talking like E3 size conference hall.
Okay, in the Seattle,
Convention Center.
There could easily have been a few thousand people.
A few thousand people, And packed. During some of the final matches, all of the seats were taken throughout the entire thing, and then rows and rows of people just standing or sitting on the floor watching the event.
And then I'm sure that was only a small fraction of the people who were streaming it, which probably numbered in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions.
Yes. The amount of people, I'm sure, is outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, and for good reason. This is one of the big final events. The season is over.
Yeah.
This is now saying, this is the best team in North America, period.
And these people are going to go on to start
competing. So that was the other exciting thing about it, is that of the 8 teams in the regular League of Legends season, 6 went on to participate in this, right? And only 3 of those 6 people are actually going to Worlds. So some people were fighting for the right to go to the World event. And if they failed, if they lost their match, they're going home. They're done.
Do they send a team or a collection of people like the Olympics?
No, they send a team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because so, like when we have organized sports in the Olympics, the basketball team will be a collection of the NBA's best.
League of Legends does an All-Stars match every year, like in Paris.
Yeah.
And for the All-Stars match, they'll put together different players from different teams. But yeah, for the most part, it's just that one team.
Okay.
So, tragedies and triumphs around.
So where do you want to start talking about watching video games live?
Video games.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the places that I want to start is basically by asking you some questions, because we watched pro wrestling a while back. an embarrassing amount of pro wrestling.
I watched an embarrassing amount of pro wrestling.
I just sat there and commentated.
You just watched a quietly shameful amount of pro wrestling.
Well, there's a couple of things that arose last week when I was at the LA event that I was just kind of surprised by. One is some of the drama that goes on around esports and League of Legends. I find really interesting, because I'm curious to know your thoughts on how drama plays into the enjoyment of sports, period. And the other thing was the level of production. Like, the sense that I am in this thing that is being produced. It felt almost more theatrical.
Yep.
Certainly the LA event.
Yeah.
Than I expected. I expected a bit more of that sort of rowdy, yeah, we're here for sports, you know,
what
kind
was
of thing.
What was the thing, like, what was the aspect that made it feel produced?
I mentioned in the article there was no beer being served. And I think that's kind of jokey, but I think that is, like, a telling thing, right? Like,
it's a
not...
show, not an event.
Right, and that's not always the case, right? They didn't have alcohol at PAX because it's, like, a family-friendly venue, but certain venues do serve alcohol.
I mean,
but...
at the Dota, at the International, they had alcohol.
Yeah.
So, like, they certainly have alcohol at some esports
I mean,
venues.
And I had alcohol in, like, a tiny flask because I have to feed my habit. So there was that. But the other aspect of it was there was a... I mean, part of it was the stage design, right? Mm-hmm. Like, huge screens, lights, like, things would lower down. Okay. It's kind of like... God,
are the teams in those pods?
They're not enclosed indoors, but they have their headsets on. They're on their stage in their each individual section. Yeah. It's a very choreographed feel of the stage itself. And then in between matches, a hype guy would come out and be like, "You guys ready for some swag?" And then, you know, he'd throw out some, like, poros and
right,
like,
stuff.
At the LA event, they had, like, League of Legends branded fruit. So it's like a banana and an orange.
With a sticker on them, or did they breed these fruits to take on?
No,
the...
they weren't real. I wish.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just like so like it's... a stress ball.
Okay.
Right? But then League of Legends branding on it.
Okay.
But as far as I know, I don't... There's not like a fruit thing. It's not a thing in League, you know?
So when I heard you... When I read that, I started thinking about the difference between watching a sport on television and attending a sport
live.
In person.
Yeah.
And I remember, especially when I was a kid, during the summer, we would always go to A's games.
Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, Oakland for life. And it was Dollar Wednesdays, where there is a dollar
so
to get
cheap.
In and a dollar to buy hot dogs. And so, you know, we would go, and when you're at a baseball game, you know, during the innings, there's no commercials, right? So they have to fill that time with things. And so they'll have, here's Stomper the Elephant. Like, they'll have, like, a t-shirt gun, and he'll be, like, you know, shooting t-shirts out there. There'll be, like, dot races. Well, they'll show, like...
Yes, and
remember
it was
the
like,
dot
oh,
races?
Green! Yeah. Green, green, green's gonna win.
So
yeah.
They have, like, this fake track on the Jumbotron, and there's three dots, and you are, like, betting on which one's gonna win. And they
it's
have...
It's like the Bud Bowl in football, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's like... It's little things that are in the middle. There's other, like, some stadiums do it differently. Like, the classic example is the Philly Fanatic is always getting into mischief. They'll have, like, races of mascots, you know, down the baselines. And so it started reminding me of, like, the experience of seeing something in person is different because you're not able to fill time with ads, and you're not able to focus people's attention in a way that the screen can focus, because there's no director.
Yeah, but what's weird is that there is a director for League of Legends, right? Like, when I think about going to a baseball game, and this isn't true for everyone, because some people get different things out of watching live sports events, but I just think of all the time that I'm actually not watching the game. Like, baseball is such a slow-paced game that it's a lot of, like, you're watching, but you're really just chatting with friends, having a beer, you know, enjoying your time, making jokes, all the kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between commercials, they'll do those events. But when you're watching a league event, you are watching a screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's live, but but the camera is somewhat directed. I don't get to choose where I go myself. And even in between the matches, like, there's only a three-minute gap. You know, so there's not...
Is it strictly 3 minutes?
I think it's about 3 minutes between matches, I think, so usually what they'll do is they'll do a game, then it will be 3 minutes, and then it will be commenters analyzing the game, recapping, being like, oh, I think they really need to, you know, kill more people in the next match. three more minutes of the gap, and then the next game starts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that is technologically, and also just mechanically... It's easier to do that with a timed game. Baseball's not a timed game, so you really don't know how long it's going to take. But I also think that you could probably hang out and shoot the shit. It's just, what is your relative interest in League versus your relative interest in baseball?
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Abbott, he would be sitting there at the game enjoying himself, but he'd also be taking meticulous scoring notes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he is, like, a student of the game, and so he's actually keeping track of not just the score, but, like, did this ball go to the shortstop? Did it go to 2-1 and then the out? Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. So I mean, like,
how many people are in the stands? He's basically like Jason Bourne for
there's one baseball. Of those. That's another one of the things they have you guess how many people are in the stands.
Oh yeah, you're
like,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
There's like all these little weird like carnival games that happen, and they happen at all sports. I just use baseball as an example, but mm-hmm. like. But it's because, but you would never know that stuff happens if you don't go there in real life.
Right.
So yeah, maybe there's a place for this stuff happening in live matches and not so much a place for this stuff happening in the, you know, the streamed matches.
Well, maybe there should be more of that. Yeah. At a live League of Legends event. I mean, the swag thing was interesting. Another one that struck me that didn't happen, at least from my perspective, I didn't see it happening in LA, but it happened at PAX, where the cameraman during the 3-minute countdown would be like, okay, buddy, I'm gonna pan to you and I'm gonna go over to you and I want you guys to scream real loud and hold up your signs, okay? Like, get ready, we're gonna do it.
Yeah.
And then it would trigger, he would do like a, you know, 3-second sweeping movement of the camera. They'd be like, yeah, you know, blood curdling screams and shaking their their things, and then that would be that. And then you'd be like, oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
You guys did really well, you know?
Right. Well, some of that stuff certainly happens. It's just you don't get to see the sausage made. Like, when you're watching a football game on TV and they show the guy dressed up like Santa with, like, a dirty limerick or whatever, like, you know.
But when you see, like, the kiss cam at, like, a baseball game or something.
That's spontaneous.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are, the way you can produce it for a television show is such that you can make it look spontaneous. When it's actually like, all right, we're going to pan across this or, you know, or the other thing is it's so established that if you're sitting in a certain area, you know, that's where they film from and that's where they take a lot of their crowd shots from. Yep. So you should bring signs.
That, and I should say there is that level of like randomness or unscripted behavior from the crowd. The commentators, the camera is looking at them and the crowd behind them. Mm-hmm. So you'll see people like sneakily hold up signs, or like you'll see that little kid who's like 9 like just stare directly into the camera like he's got a grudge with some person online. Like, there's a lot of that, right? A lot of that sort of who knows what's gonna happen. Yeah. Everyone likes to be on the TV screen kind of thing. That's cool, that's refreshing. Yeah. And again, I'm not saying I'm against the sort of scale of production that that takes place, but it almost feels a bit more like, I don't know, like I kept going back to wrestling as a potential idea. You know, the way that when a wrestler comes out of the crowd, it's like an affair, right? Yeah. And everyone's like shaking their hand, and it's all these big hullabaloo, and you know, people line up afterwards in the Avengers match to get their stuff signed and stuff. I mean, I guess they do that for other sports games as well, but there was just this level of like, oh, I feel like I'm watching almost more like a game show. Like, this is Price is Right or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think League of Legends is, and video games in general, are coming to broadcast in a post-broadcast world, right? Like, like all other sports have existed before television existed, and so they've had to somewhat evolve along with the medium, whereas League is like, okay, well, these conventions already exist. How do we make use of them?
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. Like, you know, sports games, for example, I mentioned in the article, there's that hockey team where people throw octopus on the thing. Yeah. That's like a really weird tradition. But those little traditions are part of what makes watching a live sporting event like this very sort of human shared cultural experience for those people there. Whereas esports doesn't really have a whole lot of that tradition yet. Mm-hmm. There are some traditions, like, you know, being sexist or something, but, you know, there's not like, there's not a ton of like fun traditions that I can think of from League of Legends, because it's only been seriously an esport for maybe, what, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's something that we should like, you know, people who are trying to create and promote esports as a live event should consider creating. Like, maybe we want to have certain traditions that seem weird and out of place, but create this sort of permanent bond, right? Yeah. Like, maybe we want to have people come to these events and go, oh, yeah, do X, Y, or Z thing. Maybe that's what cosplay is. Maybe, I don't know.
I mean, are they trying to, are they trying to hype up the players themselves?
Well, no. I mean, the players have headphones on. They can't hear anything.
I mean, sorry. What I meant is, are they trying to make superstars out of these players?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for
so,
sure.
I mean, that's the other thing. Like, League is coming in the era of, like, in a post-superstar era. Like, a post-Michael Jordan era. Like, where, you know,
where we have designated hitters and all that.
Well, I mean, designated hitters was a thing that happened a long time ago. But, I mean, what I'm saying is, like, Babe Ruth didn't have his own shoes.
Yeah.
Like, Babe Ruth was not He wasn't brand. Sponsored. Yeah. Babe Ruth was just one of the best baseball players of all time. He wasn't a multinational brand.
Yeah.
So, like, but now...
He would, like, do you think if... So, if Babe Ruth were born and alive and active today, he would have a perfume?
I mean, it's He'd like...
He has his own candy bar, though.
Yeah, take that, LeBron. I mean, like, so, but, like, LeBron is a brand. You know, like, yeah. I mean, he has his LeBrand. Own stuff.
LeBrand. LeBron James.
LeBron James. Man, you're welcome, LeBron.
Yeah, there you go. Take that to the bank.
But
I call him LBJ, by the way.
That's that's the thing, though. Like, I think that they... You can't separate that stuff anymore from superstars. Like, that's out. Like, that's that's kind of what a sports superstar is expected to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are going to endorse things at a level that is... would be unprecedented to the generation or two before you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And so in order to build up that, in order to build that up with esports, you either need to have people, fans, kind of obsess over it, or you need to start manufacturing that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that may be part of the way that they package things is like, okay, we need ambassadors. Like, we need a team Na'Vi, you know, and we need people on it that they will recognize, and you know, we need, if they endorse this Razer mouse, like, that is going to be the thing that people buy, you know, and so I think that's probably part of it. You know, they have to...
Well, CLG just got sponsored by SanDisk.
Okay.
And they came out with this whole YouTube video that was like a joke about them being sponsored.
And but I mean, do they use SanDisk stuff? Like,
I mean,
game?
I presume,
like,
oh, now.
Only our drives are only SanDisk.
No,
you know?
I mean,
like,
I doubt it. I have no idea. Yeah.
But I mean, I think that...
It's on their jersey.
Okay. I mean, similar, you know, NASCAR or soccer players or whatever have that. But I think that...
But I mean, that even that is weird, right? Like, you don't see baseball... Baseball players will have brands, but they don't come out on the pitch, or... I don't think they call it a pitch in baseball. They
come out, we're not communists, so we call it a field.
they don't come out on the field and wear... Like, you can you imagine, like, well, if LeBron came out and he had, like, you know, Michael Jordan logo.
I mean, that's why the sponsorships that they have are so key, because Nike can put logos on their shoes, and as long as it conforms to the rules of the league, they can sneak in sponsorship where it is. So, like, the idea is that some sports are just stricter about uniform regulations.
That's what I find so interesting, right? Is like, you look at esports and you compare it to all these other sports, and there's little aspects of everything. Like, there's a little piece of NASCAR.
Oh yeah, for sure.
In esports right now, but it's not everything, you know. And there's a little bit of baseball. There's a little bit of wrestling. Yeah. Like, I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but the amount of sort of shit talking that goes on among fans online after a match.
Yeah.
Like, the match I saw in LA was between Team Curse and CLG.
Mm.
And CLG was just coming back from Korea after, like, boot camping, right?
Yeah.
And there was all this hype of, like, oh, you know, Koreans are so good at video games. It was like they traveled to the top of a mountain and some fucking monk was like, let me unlock the secrets of the Baron Kill, you know? Like, some sage-like wisdom from the Koreans. And they came and they lost horribly. And everyone was like, oh, man, you guys aren't shit. You know, like, you played awful and... this guy who used to be a pro player and now is one of the managers of a team on Twitter was like talking shit. And there's a level of like boxing mentality.
Yeah.
Right. Like, the way that boxers will come out and be like, oh, I'm going to mess you up. Like, your mom, the so-and-so, right? And I don't think Riot really supports it at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a level of like, it happens anyway.
But they probably shouldn't stamp it out unless it gets really out of hand.
Well, I mean, but that's the question, right? Like, if anyone's going to stamp it out, it's them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that fans latch onto, then it's going to be continually perpetuated, right? Like, that's not for everybody. The idea of like going to a boxing match and as they weigh in, they're like shit talking one another. That's part of the game. Like, that's part of the fun that people go to to watch.
Yeah,
is it something we want in esports? I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, there were some good responses too. Some people online afterwards were like, "Hey guys, it really sucks to lose. Just remember that. Like, that's all. You know, we're all on the same team here, kind of thing."
Yeah, I mean, and that's where the league can step in. I mean, if a football player does that, he might very well get suspended.
Right. I mean, in football, you can't even dance longer than what, like 5 seconds or something?
Your dancing period is done.
Yeah. Like, you are limited in how celebratory you are when you do good things.
Yeah. Well, I think You made a couple references to wrestling, and I'd be interested to see like where that connection is coming from, because wrestling is extremely controlled by the league to the point that the matches are predetermined.
Yeah.
I mean, like wrestling, spoiler alert, wrestling, the fix is in, guys. Sometimes, it's, unless we're talking about, you know, Bret Hart, I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. Anyway, the point is that wrestling is completely controlled by the league.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this give and take with the fans. You know, if you're going to push one wrestler, if there's a really poor fan reaction, they might actually get bumped for a different one or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, is that where you're finding the connection?
Oh, no, I hope not. I mean, there's a lot of paranoia amongst League of Legends fans that Riot fixes events.
Yeah.
Like, they recently did, for World Championships, they do the, what is it called? The pool, where they decide which group you're in.
Oh, this like the seeding for
right? And I guess in other sports, the seeding is a really big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And there will be third party, neutral parties to go and make sure that it's not, that it's not being fixed.
Yeah.
Riot did it in secret again this year.
Mm.
And there was a lot of talk online of like, that's not cool, you need a third party. And Riot came out with an official statement that was like, look, we, you know, we needed to do it in secret because if it were public, teams would now have an incentive to lose certain matches because the league wasn't done yet.
Yeah.
And two...
That happens in... What was that Olympic sport? Maybe it was like ping pong or something.
Remember,
like
people were losing on purpose? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I think it might have been volleyball.
Volleyball? It was something. It was some team sport that was in the Olympics.
Right.
And people would purposefully lose.
To give themselves a good seed.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And so they said that was a big concern. They weren't sure if they could trust a third party who would not leak it and therefore influence that process.
You got to be kidding me. You're telling me that like Deloitte or something would do something like, I mean,
the point being is they were like, look, we didn't have enough time. We did it in secret, but from now on, we're going to bring in a third party. Mm-hmm. We're going to verify it. And they're going to create a bigger gap between the end of the season and the time that they have to do the drawing so that they can do it in public.
And they talked about like their methodology or something.
Right. And they talked about the methodology and all that, but it's fascinating because that's some like inside baseball shit.
Yeah,
like I don't care about that stuff.
Right.
But people take it really seriously for, say, the NBA.
Yeah.
Right? Like the draft. The NBA draft is a live event. And for a lot of fans, that's a huge thing.
Right.
Like they love watching the draft.
Yeah.
It's not even a game, dude. Like what is like all they're doing is seeing who's gonna pick who. But they're projecting and using that to inform like this long term thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an aspect of that as well. Like if people take leagues super, super seriously like that, then, you know, the sense of paranoia, the sense of trust between the fans and the people who were, you know, I guess maybe in this case they'd be the commissioners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they would be the governing body of the league.
But it's funny that the governing body of the league is the same people who make the game. If this isn't like a third-party esports association who does it.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing for the NFL and the NBA.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, like the... We're just seeing the creation of this in a way that's more transparent than we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
This type of corruption is like, or this fear of corruption is you know, runs through any type of sport and any type of organization. We're seeing it develop at a time when we have unprecedented access into it.
Yeah.
Like if we're able to like look at inside Roger Goodall's methodology or something, we're like, what the heck? What is going on here?
Yeah.
Like,
or Jane Goodall's.
We're like, those chimpanzees are seated. That one lost on purpose. I think the challenge that Riot faces is that they're being held to a higher standard because people have unprecedented access into, and that, you know, there's not really a players league. There's not really a rules committee. Like it's all part of this one big weird amorphous organization that doesn't even have kind of internal checks and balances to the public. It probably does internally. We just can't see it. You know, the League of Legends players are probably not going to go on strike or be locked out because there's not really a players league.
Right.
In the same way that what happened to the NFL, you know, a year ago or two years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think we're just seeing it develop in a more transparent way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just subjects it to more scrutiny, which is fine. I think that makes for a purer thing at the end.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you think about like the longevity of a sport, right?
Yeah.
People have to feel like they can trust that it's consistent in basically most ways.
I mean, look at baseball. I mean, like baseball still has not recovered from the steroid scandal.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, you know, definitely people were like trying to fool the league, but the league was not innocent in this. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to look at these players and say, okay, there's something weird happening here. They just decided to look the other way.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, and that really hurt baseball. I mean, in a time when baseball wasn't the most popular sport anyway, that lack of trust. I mean,
it's the American sports.
Freaking guy. Congress got involved. You know, I mean, like, yeah. People get pissed about that stuff.
Well, to be fair, they weren't doing anything else. Am I right?
Oh, no. Topical.
A while back, I talked
to... Can you imagine League of Legends cheering St. Congress?
That would be amazing. Mr. Raise your dongers, yeah. I'm a cutie pie.
We call to the floor all of Team Solo mid.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It says here that on 26 minutes in, yeah. You killed the Baron. Yeah.
Walk us through that.
Yeah, walk us through that process, please. I wrote an article a while back, and I think I was saying that League of Legends is in a place where like things can be patched in the way that actual sports can't. And there was this big comment thread where one of our readers was mentioning actually sports can be patched. And
I mean, sports are patched every year.
Do you think that level of trust or the reliability of what a sporting event is going to be is like fundamentally changed in a digital event, right? Where like the rules can change in terms of a patch. Or say, for example, League of Legends is working on a huge visual upgrade. Mm-hmm. Is that going to make it more watchable, less watchable? You know, like, you go to a baseball game and you know what it's going to be like for the most part. There's going to be a seventh inning stretch. They're going to be selling Cracker Jacks. Mm-hmm. You know, balls will fly. Mm-hmm. All that
There's
going to
be
stuff.
Some drunk guy behind you.
Some drunk guy behind you, yeah.
I mean, in terms of patching, like, that definitely happens all the time. They added instant replay to baseball.
Yep.
Ugh, what a terrible idea.
Did they really do that?
Yeah.
This year?
I forget if it was this season or last season.
Wow.
But yeah, instant replays in baseball, it is awful. It slows the game down.
Even more than it already is. Yeah.
It's really... And baseball has a lot of like unwritten rules and like nebulous rules, and so that's not really conducive. Yeah.
Like dogs can't play baseball. They can play basketball.
They can play basketball. Air Bud.
Yeah.
I think instant replay overall is bad for pretty much any sport. Like, I think that...
Interesting. What about esports, though?
I mean, esports, a computer is handling everything, so you don't need instant replay.
Yeah, yeah.
The argument for instant replay is to make physical sports more like esports, because apparently, you know, a computer can't make a mistake or be biased. I feel like part of a human sport is also dealing with the danger and potential to make a mistake as a referee. Yeah. And so, like, that's also part of the challenge. Anyway, that's a side thing for, like,
side
another...
Range.
Yeah. But, I mean... football. They made a rule change this year where you can make less contact with receivers when they go downfield.
Mm-hmm. And, meaning you're restricted on how hard you hit them.
How much you can touch them as they're downfield before and or during a ball is being thrown to them.
And has that affected teams? Like, you'll see the meta will change, for example, in League of Legends.
Right.
And some teams just have a hard time catching up.
I mean, it will definitely affect teams, because if this happened last year, would the Seahawks be as good? One of the things that helped them win their championship was an extremely, the best in the league, one of the best all-time secondaries.
Right.
Like, they were the best at defending the pass. If this happens now, it's basically nerfing defensive secondaries. So, and what they're...
From now on, by the way, we should only use video game terminology when talking about sports.
And what's going to happen is, and well...
Marshawn Lynch is still elite.
We don't know what's going to happen, but what many people think will happen is that it's going to lead to a lot more exciting pass plays, because defenders will have a harder time defending against receivers, because they'll either get penalized or they'll be too cautious in order to not get penalized.
So are you suggesting that I play my flex position, a wide receiver, in my fantasy football team this year?
I mean, it depends on what your fantasy football team rules are, but if that were to happen, remember our bullshit fantasy football league last year?
Yeah.
Where, like, for some reason, like, wide receivers were way overpowered? That would have made a huge difference.
Yeah.
Whereas traditionally... And in most leagues, it's more important to have running.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this year, I would imagine that wide receivers are going to be more valuable because of these new rules that they're putting in.
Yeah.
We don't know if that's actually going to happen, but just the same way that if we don't know, like, you know, they change a damage value or something, mm-hmm. like, that probably will change people's behavior, but you actually have to, you know, run it out to find out.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, like, I think that happens all the time. I think the difference, though, is... League of Legends is able to do it fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fear potentially is that they could push a huge number of patches really quickly, maybe in mid-season or something.
Mm-hmm. And they sometimes do. Yeah.
Whereas in sports, that always happens on a seasonal level, so you can prepare.
Well, League definitely does that. In between seasons is when they make the most radical changes.
Right.
And then the rest of the season is just massaging it.
Right. But that doesn't really happen in most other sports. The other thing is, and again, this is going back to transparency, you know, we can see all this stuff with League of Legends. Mm-hmm. You can either, you know, with social media or just the expectation that Riot is going to be more upfront with their players. Like, the NFL Rules Commission locks itself in a room. Like, I have no idea what they're going to do from season to season until they tell me.
And they're like the Vatican, dude. That's like the Cardinals choosing the next Pope.
Oh, white smoke. That means wide receivers OP.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we're just... Esports in general has just set this precedent of being more interactive and more transparent. And mm-hmm. with the good comes the bad. Like, people feel a sense of ownership over it in the same way that I can't legitimately claim over the NFL because, like, I'm not on Twitter, like, bothering the rules committee. Yeah. Like, you know, like,
not yet. Yeah.
I mean,
we can swat them.
It's really like, you know, they have, it's good because it builds community, but this is what happens, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
So is there anything from actual real world sports, specifically live sports, that you think is really cool and like League of Legends or esports should emulate, or things that they should not emulate?
They gotta get people off the juice.
Yeah. I mean, that might be a thing, right? Like, if you found out that they were taking Adderall or something, yeah. right?
Which probably are.
Probably.
I don't know. I think...
More food vendors, for sure.
Yeah. You know, it's difficult because we talked about this when we saw the Dota movie that mm-hmm. Valve produced, and it's like, how do you make a culture around a sport?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly why I find it so fascinating.
And it's, you know, a lot of sports, especially in the pre-televised era, you know, they came up because people liked them and there was regional heroes and, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of things happened. But, you know, at this point, I feel like the leagues do their own promotion. You know, they are trying to... It is good for the NBA to have LeBron James be famous.
Right.
And, like, NFL Films has been around for, I don't know, 40 years or something. Like, yeah. they make their own documentaries that... Some of them are really good, but you should definitely realize that it is the company making the product.
It's promotional material.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, and so maybe that's the way to go, but I'm worried that... And I think gaming in general is... predisposed to a kind of consumerist mentality.
Yeah.
And so I'm a bit fearful that if Riot is too strong on it, then there won't actually be like a separate culture of like at the A's game, there's guys that bring drums to the game and they bang out little chants and stuff. Like, that stuff wasn't created by the front office. Like, it was just created by people. Like, yeah. that's what people like to do.
So basically not... Yeah, I mean, you're right. Because there's like a difficult balance, right? You want it to be... well-produced so that it's taken seriously
yeah.
and people are drawn to watch it. But at the same time, you want to leave room for a culture to grow naturally and yeah. on its own.
I mean, you don't want everything to be completely corporate-sponsored because that's not spontaneous.
Right.
You know, or maybe like... and things can be co-opted. Like, you know, the fear the beard thing. You know, like the Giants. Yeah. Like, I mean, that was... The Giants have definitely...
What a merchandising...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was great. But, like, that came out because, you know... It was player-driven, and then the fans picked it up, and then they're like, oh, well, the fans really like this. We should support this as an organization.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just don't know. You know, the stuff that I see from League is like, oh, here's a plushie of a League character. Here's some swag about League characters. It's not like... It's not stuff that came from the players or the community. It's all still stuff that's coming from the game.
Yes.
And so it's like, I'm not sure how to foster that, but... I worry that providing too much for people doesn't allow the separate culture to really to take hold.
Yeah.
We barely even talked about what the vibe was. Like, what was the vibe in those?
I mean, it was pretty cool. It was super exciting.
Everyone was like enthusiastic. Like,
I mean, not, you
were
know,
there like naysayers? Like,
what I find so funny
is hecklers.
There were no hecklers. Well, I don't know. Kind of like, yeah. you know, when I was watching the LMQ versus Curse match, you know, LMQ is this team that's primarily... In fact, it's entirely made of Chinese players,
mm-hmm.
but they moved here and live in the United States to compete in the North American circuit.
That's a very common sports story.
But what you get out of that is that there are people who are like, I mean, not only Curse has been around longer than LMQ anyway, so they have a much bigger fan base.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are people who, when they're rooting for Curse, it almost feels like they're rooting against LMQ in that sort of way.
Yeah.
So there's, but there's not like a ton of heckling. No one's throwing shit at them, you know?
Throwing batteries at people.
Water bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, generally it's exciting. And I think the one weird thing is you get a lot of people who, you know, they're not normally loud and outgoing people, you know, they're sort of nerdy. So yeah, I think sometimes sections of the crowd aren't as loud and boisterous, but you would hear chants of like, CLG, CLG. Yeah. And people, during big plays, people would stand up and cheer, and it was crazy. I mean, especially when you have that critical mass of people. It's something that happened a little bit in LA, but having the ton of people there was really good for that.
Were there people there that you go to a baseball game? There's definitely people that are baseball fans, but there are also people there just to be like, yeah, I'll go to a baseball game once a year or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, were there kind of casual enthusiasts there?
Or filthy casuals,
filthy,
you mean?
Filthy cash.
Not that I know of. I wasn't sitting in next to any. I mean, everybody seemed to know what was going on. Yeah,
I think that's another big thing, and I think that's also partly where culture comes from. Like, I don't really follow the NBA anymore, but I know who LeBron James is, and I know the basic rules of basketball. And like, I feel like, you know, to really get mainstream appeal, the game needs to be understood by people that are not just in the know.
Yeah,
like I feel like I think I'm a good example of that. Like, I feel like I probably don't understand Dota or League enough to truly appreciate it. Maybe I could get by if I'm at an event and, like, you know.
We should go to a live event then.
I mean, I feel like maybe it would be the same way as if I went to, I don't know, rugby or something like that. Like, I know the general idea, but I don't really know the tactics or the you know, the deeper strategy. But in order to have that culture, you need to have the stories behind the players, and you at least need people to understand how hard it is to make a reception from 40 yards downfield or something like that.
Super hard is the answer.
I mean, yeah, extremely hard. But, like, I don't think the lay person has a good enough understanding of how difficult it is to pull off that double kill.
Right. Or pentakill.
Or pentakill. Like, I don't think people don't, you know, understand that on the same level that they understand how rare a triple play is in baseball.
Yeah.
So, like, I think in order to get to a wider acceptance and to make it feel more like a sport, you actually need a broader and also less knowledgeable audience.
Yeah, interesting.
Because then you're relying more on narrative than, you know, the hardcore demographic.
I mean, I think that's an interesting point that seems to almost encourage then even more just like culturally things to do stuff, right? Yep. Instead of like, oh, here's a plushie.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe like,
welcome to League of Legends Kids Zone.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Or like the Giant Stadium has like an herb garden and stuff. Like, there's got to be weird stuff to do that can entertain people to the point where at least they're watching one game before they're like, I don't get what's happening, I'm leaving.
I think I think novelty matches, I think simplified versions of the game, like wiffle ball teaches people about baseball.
Interesting.
You know, I mean, I think, like, and again, this is the stuff that I think will probably piss off the people the most, but if you want something that looks like a more traditional sport with a separate fan culture and a front office culture and, like, just at least some,
yeah, know, I mean, and maybe people don't, right? Maybe the path that a lot of people really want is, like, I don't know, like gymnastics or something. The people who go to meets and are super into it, but it's not a huge thing.
The in crowd is the in crowd. Yeah. Oh, and I think the other template to look at is like the fighting game crowd. Like, not an approachable community. Like, if you don't know about
not at all.
MVK, then.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, what's interesting is.
Or MVC? Marvel's Capcom?
Yeah,
MVC. I said K.
What happens when League of Legends is no longer heavily played? Like, a new MOBA has taken its place, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do these people who watch League of Legends as an esports enjoyment move to another game and start watching that?
Yeah.
Can I go from this to watching Dota and go to a live event and have a good time? Right. Like, I could be an Ace fan, but I'll still go to a Giants versus, you know, Mariners game, right?
Yeah.
Because there's, like, some similarities there. Is that going to be consistent enough? Once an esports fan, am I an esports fan or am I a League of Legends fan? And I think a lot of that depends upon the type of culture that builds up around it.
Well, and I also, you know, esports are in a position where there's no... So, like, the only type of football is... Well, it's not the only type, but, like, the dominant type is the NFL.
Right.
Like, you can go to the, you know, the Arena Football League or the Canadian Football or something, but, like, You know, like...
Come on, Scott.
But I mean, back in the day, there were competing leagues. Like, yeah. There was the NBA and the ABA. There was the NFL and the AFL.
The XFL?
The XFL is the equivalent of, like, the Lord of the Rings MOBA or something.
Sure.
Like, our... Like, you know,
burn!
Like, the idea is that the... there has to be some... there doesn't have to be, but... The idea that League could die... If League dies and interest... an interest in League dies, that means that, like, that brand is gone.
Yeah.
Will people continue to be enthusiastic about MOBAs? If not, then what they were really enthusiastic about was League.
Yep.
The AFL was consumed by the NFL. The NFL kept on going because people were still interested in football.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if that had just fallen off, then it's like, oh, clearly people didn't care about football. They cared about the League. And so that question is yet to be resolved because we haven't seen a massive collapse of League or Dota or something like that.
Yes.
I mean, a similar thing maybe would be...
Counter-Strike?
Maybe Counter-Strike, but Counter-Strike was never...
Quake?
I mean, the template is wrong because it was all under the umbrella of, like, MLG. Thing.
A third party.
A third party curating a set of rules rather than the rule maker also being the League.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have to see what happens because inevitably someone will collapse and we'll see who is absorbed into that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that will show us if people really like the company or if people really like the mechanics underneath.
Yeah.
I think people like the mechanics, just judging by the number of MOBA games out there.
Sure.
But
like the day when we stop getting new champions, right?
Yeah.
And say, for example, Riot just becomes the NFL commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
All they do is curate competitive events.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I think like having a broader view of this is helpful because you say, oh, actually, esports isn't that corrupt. Just look at the NFL. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, and I think that we're at a time where we get to see this develop in a more transparent way than we ever have before. So it might seem like sketchy stuff is happening or maybe weird stuff, but really, we're seeing how the sausage is made in a better way than we ever have.
Sure.
I think it's probably a positive thing.
Yeah.
No cotton candy, though.
No cotton candy, not yet. Mm. Nope. Or foot-long hot dogs.
I mean, think of like how many characters there are in League. Those could all be ice cream pops. Like,
dude, no joke. You could have like Draven Cracker Jacks and like...
So, like, everything. Like
Oriana popcorn. If it comes in like a ball, you open it up and you're like, woo, yeah, who knows?
I don't know. That stuff is all...
I'm actually shocked by how little they merchandise.
Yeah.
So they were at PAX, no sales booth.
What?
They weren't selling any merchandise. Isn't that crazy?
I mean,
my guess is it could be like a location issue where they'd have to pay the organizers or something, but it blows my mind.
That is weird.
They did have one in LA, but it wasn't. They don't have a ton of stuff.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
they have no online store. Riot has no online store where you can buy stuff, as far as I'm aware.
Wow. What?
Yeah.
I almost don't believe that.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Why
we're on their webpage right now, right?
Yeah.
Like,
okay. Let's do some live testing here. So what are we doing?
Where's their store?
Game info?
Nothing.
Spells? Can I buy spells?
No.
How many days till my spell is shipped?
Go to
How about artwork?
Nope.
Are you serious?
There's no... I mean, yeah. There isn't one.
What is LOL?
You have to go to a live event.
And buy stuff.
And buy stuff there. Yeah, or a third party.
It's like a concert.
I mean, I presume there's like licensing deals, but they don't have it on their own, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's another thing that real sports have got all over the place, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, licensing. Yeah. I mean, it's... And, you know, honestly, that might be a better thing. That might be, like, one of the things that prevents them from, like,
maybe
being too strong as a league of, like, oh, this is what our culture is. Maybe you guys should decide a little bit, you know? I don't know. This is all very strange to me.
We're going to get an EA esports game. It's like, design your own competitive league team.
Oh man, League Manager 2015.
Yeah, exactly. League Manager 2015.
Jeez. All right. Well, we've just been throwing out good ideas for people left and right. We should just
patent pending.
Yeah,
pending.
We'll leave it there before we throw away all of our riches. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. We don't have a live event yet, but be on the lookout.
Yeah, there'll be plushies.
George plushies. There will be a George... Oh, yes, 100%. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher. Go and leave us a review. It helps us find new listeners, and we always appreciate it.
All right, until next week, everyone, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Ciao, Summoner. Oh, good old Hank Williams. Where is he now? Is he dead?
Oh, no, but his career is. Bang, 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 bang.